go in for the oil and disturb the whole environment, or go in for shrimp farming. It will bring in more revenue to government than this evil thing that they want to do. Yes, it's very evil. It's evil.
It's a holy project. Good for us, good for the government, and good for all stakeholders.
It's evil. Evil because Ghana government is a signatory to the Ramsar Convention, which does not allow things of this nature to happen in a Ramsar site.
The project is never evil.
That is the raging argument over the oil exploration in the Keta Basin. Even though it is an established fact that the Keta Basin has crude oil and gas, none of the exploration activities over the years yielded petroleum in commercial quantities. With the advancement in exploration technology, it is believed new exploration could yield results. With high level of hope, government in 2016 signed an onshore and offshore exploration agreement with the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, Swiss African Oil Company, and Pet Volta Investments to prospect for oil in the basin. The contract was renegotiated and finalized when the present government took over the reins of the country. Some residents in the 685 square kilometer allocated block, which span from Ada to Aflao, are protesting against onshore exploration in the basin. They argued that onshore petroleum operation in the area which hosts a Ramsar site will negatively affect their livelihood and damage the environment. Roland Tuji is chairman of the Keta Vegetable Farmers and Marketers Association and member of the Center for Natural Resources and Environmental Management, an NGO. He said most communities in the assigned oil block are afraid that if the oil exploration is allowed to continue, the consequence will be very devastating and they may not survive as their livelihoods will be gravely affected.
For about 500 years now, our great-grandfathers and our fathers lived around here and they get their livelihood from the lagoon. If they are coming to explore for oil, we know how devastating the situation will be. Oil spill will naturally come, and when it comes, the water body will be polluted and the all aquatic that is alive will be extinct. And in addition to that, we are farmers here and we use underground water a lot for farming. Now if they are coming to explore for oil here, they will use some chemicals and that will definitely pollute the underground water too. And it means you will have nothing left for us. So we will have that fear that no, if this will be allowed to continue, the result will be very devastating. I mean, we cannot survive here any longer.
You've talked about farming, you've talked about fishing. Apart from that, what else do you stand to lose if this contract is executed?
We might be forced to relocate, and that one is something nobody would like. But generations are born, and we wish to maintain and protect the environment for our children and our great-grandchildren to also come and enjoy it. We can get a lot of livelihood from the lagoon and the little piece of land than what we can get from the oil.
The oil would give jobs, give a lot of opportunities to the people.
Well, that's saying that oil exploration will give jobs and all that. Now, considering the profession of the people here and their academic background and their social background, I don't know what type of job our people here can get. See, that's our main fear. Oil exploration is very technical, and we need technical brains, artisans, well-drilled artisans to engage in it. We don't have those people around here. So it means there will be an influx of foreigners. And when foreigners come around here, there will be more accommodation, their social interaction with the people, feeding and all that. Everything will go up. And the next thing we will see is, you see, there will be a lot of prostitution and all these things. We have examples of this in our nearby nation. That is the Niger Delta. The whole place is polluted. Water body, everything is polluted. So there's a lot of militancy there. The people cannot survive on their own natural environment. They have to be relocated, and we want to live in our own land here.
But as we speak, nobody is asking you to relocate. All that you've enumerated, are those the things that made you to describe the oil exploration project as evil?
Yes. We don't want to wait. See, when you see our neighbor's beard being bent, you have to make sure you get water around. See, when it happens to you, you can quench it. We don't want the havoc to start before we think of finding a remedy for it.
Edward Kofi Ahiabo is a former municipal chief executive for the Keta Municipal Assembly and patron of the Keta Vegetable Farmers and Marketers Association. He said the project is simply evil, as water bodies may be polluted.
If you see a basin in the geological term, it means that something that collects water. And the Keta Basin collects water all the way from Togo, from whole area, all the water that runs off comes to the basin. Apart from that, we have 3 underground freshwater aquifers. Some of them take their source from whole area. And there's a 4th aquifer, which is a saline one. Now, meaning that if drilling is being done in one of the aquifers where it takes its source, any leakage will flow down and get to this place and contaminate the whole area. This is the reason why most of us are afraid that wherever they will site an oil well, there will definitely be a horizontal flow of chemicals that they'll be using. Definitely, it will vomit, leak and contaminate the freshwater system. And the freshwater bodies you see around there, some flow into the river Volta. It means that in the near future, our water sources, the drinking ones, the ones we'll be using for farming, will all get contaminated in a way.
In the contract, the contractors have been told what to do in order to avoid what you are anticipating will happen.
The point is, apart from the possible contamination, Keta Basin has been designed by God for aquaculture. That is why we have 3 freshwater aquifers and a saline one. And research by the Oceanographic Department has shown that if government invests in shrimp farming, that will rake in more money over a long period than the amount of oil that they will be drilling from this area. So why go into oil drilling, which has a lifespan, and not fish farming, which will be forever?
Before the petition, have you had any engagement with government officials and the Swiss African Oil Company on the fact that your livelihood and your sources of income will be affected if the project is carried out?
There has been some engagement, but it was very shallow. At the point in time, they didn't even tell the people that they were going to do on-land exploration. Everything was just offshore. These are things that technical people are the ministries. They should know. Go in for the oil and disturb the whole environment, or go in for shrimp farming, the shrimp culture, and I bet you this is 10 times it will bring in more revenue to government than this evil thing that they want to do. Yes, it's very evil. It's evil. It's evil. Evil because Ghana government is a signatory to the Ramsar Convention, which does not allow things of this nature to happen in a Ramsar site. And why this sudden turn? We don't know. This is why we are calling it an evil contract. We'll have to fight and we'll continue to fight till the writing is done.
In the agreement, Swiss African Oil Company has 83% shares, GMPC 12%, and Pet Volta Investments has 5%. The director of public relations at the Swiss African Oil Company, Mensah Peter Dagui, said the company has engaged all stakeholders in the communities and will continue to educate them. He pointed out that the project has the potential to significantly transform the local economy.
The process first was the stakeholders' consultation. The stakeholders' consultation was to take us to the communities in the block. You know the block already. That's starting from Adan up to Aflawu, moving up to Abo area, running across through Shima, going to South Tong and back to Adan. So we engage the communities to introduce ourselves as to what we are coming to do in the area. And this engagement took us to all the communities in strategic zones and had the interaction with the communities and all stakeholders there. To explain to them our missions, we engaged the entire communities. That was 2016.
Specifically, what is the company doing in the Keta Basin?
After the stakeholders meeting, then there is the need for us to engage Environmental Protection Agency through a consultant who should do what we call scoping report that will deal with issues concerning environment and how we are going to tackle those issues. From there, the EPA report, which is the draft scoping report, is even ready. So after the draft report, the next line is to go back to the community that these are the issues that we've been identified. How do we even address them? Collaboration with the people. Unfortunately, we haven't done that. Then all of a sudden, the vested interest of the NGO in our area, without even having any interaction with us, started bringing a lot of issues. And these issues are bordering very much on exploitation. Meanwhile, we are doing exploration. First, it should be the exploration. After the exploration, then the various agencies with our company will sit down and see, okay, with this problem, how are you going to tackle it? Which technology are you going to use? Then he jumped in that we are going to do fracking. So the people are coming to spoil the environment. So they will be relocated. He was beating war drums. Because the people were dressed. And when we are going to war in Angola, the songs that you sing, yes, those are the songs that the people were saying. If they say Ahwashimulo, that means the war is on. And that's the picture he's painted. After pouring lavishing, that if these people are searching for oil, they should not get it. This is a country in which we live.
No wonder they are describing the project as an evil project.
Yes, because the picture that he painted over the period is going to destroy the environment, is going to destroy their livelihood and all that.
Would that happen?
It will never happen. It will not happen. I don't think it's our area is the first area that we are drilling oil.
What kind of technology are you going to use? Because he is talking about you are going to do fracking.
No, that is not even decided. Seriously. It should be decided by the company, GMPC, Environmental Protection Agency, Petroleum Commission. Jointly, they should have agreed on this is the method that we are going to use. And this is the exploration stage, then the exploitation stage will also come. So we cannot mix the two together. We have the offshore, we have the offshore too. So we have to look at the two scenarios and see which is possible to do without touching issues that will border so much on livelihood and environment.
Would you admit that you failed in doing your work to speak for the company to educate the people? Because you are not doing your work as a PRO to get the people to understand the issues.
It seems that the picture is being painted, but it's not true. Because every stage, if you want to move, you must move with all the institutions together. So we haven't reached there for us to go back to the community and talk to them. We never told him this is the method that we are going to use.
So you are not sure there will be fracking?
I'm not sure. But then I want that answers to be coming from our technical people.
Clement Kofi Humado is Member of Parliament for Anglo.
I was a Member of Parliament among the 6 MPs in the affected area who passed the agreement for approval by the President. And the agreement clearly states that there is an exploration stage and there is a production and development stage. And the Constitution of Ghana also says that minerals belong to the state, not to any tribe or ethnic group. So I was saying that even though we have genuine concerns, one, we do not have the scientific facts to base those concerns on. Unless exploration is done, it is only the exploration that can tell us whether the oil is there in commercial quantities, or it is there, but it is more in the sea than onshore. And even if it is onshore, where specifically? And the agreement makes provision that as soon as those results are gathered, there will be a full public hearing and consultation led by the EPA, where we shall all use the results of the exploration to see, first of all, shall we go forward or not? If we have to go forward, what technologies should they use so that it does not affect the people negatively? And even if we have to go ahead, will it displace communities? Will it affect their livelihoods? That is where the proper decision will be taken. You see, we haven't reached any stage. If we feel so strongly about the fact that the exploration too can create problems, then let us find appropriate ways of raising our issue to government, not by demonstrating or going to sue government. Because the thing, oil is not for you. according to the constitution. That kind of aggressive way, I was not for it. That is why the people were angry with me.
Again, if you go back to look at the legacy drilling that we have in the sub-region, we have from 1966, this test that we are coming to do, we have them. We have them in ATRV, that was 1966. In Anglonga, 1967, Kata 1, 1970, we have Jita, 1973, and that of Sava in 1986. So this alone will give us examples
that they've done similar exercises in the area.
But it never caused those things that they were saying. We were still fishing, we were still farming, we were still drinking the water from the river. Those days, we were not having potable water. It's a holy project, good for us, good for the government, and good for all stakeholders within.
Assuming you've discovered oil in commercial quantities, what are the benefits to them? What they stand to gain if the project is carried out?
It is going to create jobs. That is one. We may have a lot of indirect jobs coming with the project. We know that there are a lot of people who may be falling out because they don't have the expertise to work at the top level. But the other levels, as we develop, is going to create a lot of employment for our people, and it will change the local economy as well. And the stark poverty that we are seeing over there, at least there will be an influence on it, and it will be positive. And don't forget, government is saying that they are going to use a certain percentage of the resources that is coming to support our free senior high school program. I believe we have a lot of schools, even in my municipality. We have more than 16 senior high schools there. Are they also not going to benefit? So do we have resources over there? Then we say, oh, ours should not. Then they can go to any other region and bring resources for our people to benefit. If we have the resources, it's governmental issues. So it's going to benefit our generation and our generation to come. The fishing will still coexist with the oil, whatever be it. It will coexist when they talk about what happened in Nigeria. That's the special case that they are always referring to. Nigeria Delta, we have spillage. That one, they need to explain to the people how it happened. What actually caused the spillage? But we can also learn from the experience what happened in Nigeria Delta and incorporate it in our process.
Mr. Tuji, don't you think you'll be denying government opportunity to rake in a lot of revenue for national development if you say they should abrogate this contract?
I don't think oil find is the only means where the government can get enough money for development. What we are saying is that what we can derive from this lagoon, if it's properly taken care of, will give us more revenue. First, we must consider the people in the environment, what they will get to survive, and then the outflow for the whole country. We can export fish, shrimp and all this to other countries and making more money than the oil. The oil, which can be monopolized by only a few people, and even the revenue they are getting from it is very, very frightening. If I give you my land to plow, and after the harvest, you tell me you are going to take about 85%, what is my benefit? It is a fact that in Ghana, where any mineral is found, the land belongs to the government. But if the government wants to utilize the land, the people who are living on the land must be consulted so that they can come to an agreement. This was not done. See, in our area here, our lands don't belong to our chiefs. Our lands belong to the clans. So we have not heard anywhere that they have consulted clan heads about this whole thing. The rumor we heard was that some few chiefs were contacted, and we tried to see the chiefs and explain to them, but they didn't want to listen.
So the chiefs are in support of the project?
Some of the chiefs are in support of the project.
There are some Ghanaians in other communities who have also sacrificed their lands, sacrificed their livelihood for projects like mining. Why are you indigents of Keta and its surrounding areas refusing to allow this project to be carried out when others have sacrificed? Why can't you also sacrifice for this to be done?
The others we are talking about have vast stretches of land. Vast stretches of land. Look at our area here. Very small area. And the concentration of people here, it's very, very high. If we are going to sacrifice, definitely it means we are going to be relocated. See, that is our main concern. Not that we want to deny the government of revenue.
Mr. Ahiabo, we understand
some powerful people are behind you, pushing you to do what you are doing. And some have even suggested that you've had some training from Nigeria, Niger Delta, to thwart the efforts of oil companies in Ghana.
Myself, I'm very powerful. Kofi Ahiabo. I'm very powerful. So why should I go to another person for training or support? As a former MC of Keta, I know what is good for my people. I know what will destroy us. So I must put down my feet and fight for them.
You've not sent boys to Nigeria or some countries to learn how to...
No.
To be militant.
We'll just judge all. As of now, you are even in court.
On the same issue.
On the same issue. We are knowledgeable. And that is what is paining some of us. That we have technocrats at the ministries. Instead of them coming together and then look at this holistically and come out with what is best for us, they are just going after what will bring in money very quickly. Western region that we are talking about. Drilling is going on in the sea, not on land. The effect of that project on land is not that much. If you go to the mining areas, those days that they went into mining, they didn't know that mining will cause a lot of havoc. But now science has developed so well, and for us blacks, we don't do things right. That is why this galamsey thing is happening. And the question is, why they want to stop them? It is evil. If water bodies are being polluted there and they are stopping them, and we know very well that our water bodies were polluted here, we have to stop them.
You've petitioned government through the municipal chief executive. Have you had any message from government?
Not yet. We are waiting.
Seth Yomofu, the Keta Municipal Chief Executive, urged the people to be patient. He said education is key in getting the people to understand the issues. He explained that the oil project is very essential to the development of the area, saying he will not advise government to abrogate the contract.
As a representative of the president, after receiving the petition, I forwarded it to the regional minister for onward transmission to the presidency, because that is how it should work. I know by all means, by this time, it has to be with the presidency. That is what we have done so far. What we learned is that we have oil here, we have offshore, and then the onshore. So the offshore, as I'm talking now, the GNPC, the ship is on the sea doing exploration. But they are talking about the onshore, and they are making a lot of allegations in their petition. We have to verify whether what they are saying is true or not before we also come to conclusion. But I just want to appeal to them that this issue, I think the government will take a look at it. But what I feel is the problem is about the education. They have to call stakeholder meetings. So the previous government, I think they have started. But I feel that the education didn't go down well with the people. That's why those things are happening. Because we need development. And we know that if they should explore oil in Keta here, it is going to open the place economically. Because we are talking about ports. And then if they have to start oil exploration, and at the end we get our port here. After all those things, the crude have to pass through the sea to wherever it will go. But I know that this current government will come and educate the people, because maybe they feel that, oh, they are coming to do this, they are coming to do this, it's going to destroy their environment and those things. But I know now we have a lot of modern technology, so I feel that when after all these things, I know the central government will come, we sit down with them. But as a municipal chief executive at this area, I've started negotiating with them so that this issue should not be blown out of proportion, so that people will feel that we are not in line with all the exploration here. Because if they started all the exploration, a lot of economic activity will open in this area. To allay the fears of the central government, they should not think that people are in Qatar, they are against exploration of oil here.
So the oil project is very important to your economy, the local assembly?
Yeah, it's very important, because that is also one of our natural resources. When they are doing it here, I've mentioned port and harbor, because now Diamond Cement wants to create jetty here, and the government is also looking for investors to create port for us, and then oil is also on board coming. If those things are going on, that place will be open.
So it means that with that, you will not advise government to abrogate the contract?
Well, as for that one, I would say that abrogation of that contract, I don't think is the best. It cannot be to our interest. Because if you do that at the end, you cannot develop.
But are you worried as the municipal chief executive about the demonstration, the agitation and all that?
Do you know that we are in a democratic country and we believe in rule of law? Everybody have the right to go on demonstration. So far, they have passed through the due process. I'm not worried at all, because democracy, those things also may be happening, so that we know that our laws are working. So I'm not all that perturbed about it at all. I don't think that the government will come and exploit oil here, and at the end, the livelihood of the people
will be destroyed. They should have some patience for this government and support this government to achieve whatever we want to achieve for Keta municipality in the whole the country called Ghana.
Mr. Tuji,
you said you are in court. What are you seeking the court to do?
We want the court to abrogate the agreement, yes.
Mm.
So we have points to warrant that.
What grounds are you standing on? Aren't you standing on sinking sand, going to court?
See, we have our judiciary there. We have enumerated the process. All that we need around here. All that we expect the government to do for us. So the judiciary will sit up and find out what the people are saying is either good or not. And then they pass the judgment.
Is there any breach of the law in giving this contract out?
A lot of breaches. Now, if you want to use my land, yeah, the government is a convention that if there's any mirror, it belongs to the government.
Law. It's not
it's the law.
Yes.
You must contact me. You must sit up with me. We'll discuss these things and we'll come to an agreement. I'm going to agree to take the money you are going to give me and then maybe compensate me. We must sit down and discuss.
The mineral belongs to the state, and so the government wants to pick that. You don't have to stand on the way of government.
You are the government. I am part of the government, and I have been born and bred on this very land. That is my inheritance, my natural inheritance. The government should know that. If they are coming to do anything here, that will affect my livelihood. I have to speak out. It's not a matter of just saying that there's mirrors here. Say, okay, we are coming to explore. You people, move out. No, that is injustice. And that's why we have gone to the court of jurisdiction, the Supreme Court. Yes. If there's justice being done or not.
Back to the Director of Public Relations at the Swiss African Oil Company, Mensa Peter Dagby.
To the best of my knowledge, the company has not been served. We consulted our lawyer, but he said he has not been served to date.
But what do you make of the idea of sending this issue to court?
I think it's too early because we have not infringed any regulation. I think it's the Attorney General that is going to speak on the subject. We don't, as a company, design the contract. Those who design the contract will respond positively to all the issues that they are raising. And that is government. It's not the Swiss African Oil Company.
Mr. Ahiabo.
So you've not heard from government. The petition has been forwarded. What will be your next line of action should government refuse to heed to your call?
For now, we are law-abiding citizens. And once we're in court, we'll wait for court to address this issue.
So if the court rules in favor of government, what will be your next line of action?
We will go to the international court. That one I can assure you.
Back to Clement Humado, MP for Anglo.
All that I have seen should not be misconstrued that I am in favor of oil and gas to come and destroy our environment. It's because me, I am a scientist. If I don't see evidence, I don't want to take a decision. I'm just saying that we should adopt the proper approach and procedures to solve this problem. Me, I will never agree that oil and gas should cause me to move from my hometown, Alakwere, to where? Or that the shrimp farming I'm doing, I should stop. No. It will happen. If it comes to that one, I'll tell them that me too, I will not agree. But the point is, do I have this thing to argue?
Mm.
We have to wait. Some have agreed that the area should be used for gold mining, diamond mining, timber, felling, bauxite. Those monies are those that go into national budget, but used for the whole country. And then it comes to our area, and we are demonstrating and suing government. We should not project ourselves to the rest of the country as if we are selfish. We have a case, but let us not use those means. It will seem to the rest of the country as if we are selfish.
Mm.
Let's go and consult even presidents. Let's go and consult GNPC. That if the thing you want to do, we are afraid of.
Mm.
But if there will not be any problem, we go ahead. There will be a lot of benefit. There will be a harbor. There will be an industry like this welding, foundry, transportation, hospitality industry, catering, supply of food. Minimum of 3,000 people will be employed in this oil industry. So there is nothing in the world that you gain without risk. You have to take a greater risk before you can gain something.
Back to Mr. Tuji.
When you talk about Keta Basin, oil in the Volta region in general, it is not only Anglo, it is not only Keta areas. Why are you only making the noise? When the Tongus also have their areas, even the Akachi areas and all that, but they are not doing what you are doing. Why are you being the bad boys?
I want to assure you that the people you have mentioned, Tongun, Akachi, they are all with us. If after some time we have not heard anything from the government, believe me, a demonstration will go on, either at Sogakope or Akachi. They are very ready to come with us. And I want to assure you that this is a very, very bad agreement. We are helping the government. We are opening their eyes. They should abrogate it now and forever.
The Swiss African Oil Company PR director, Mr. Dagby, says he doesn't anticipate the abrogation of the petroleum agreement.
We'll be doing the explanation and they'll go with us. One day, they will tell the people who are against the project today that you have nearly made a sad mistake by saying this is an evil project. It's going to be a holy project for our people who've lived over the years. If you don't get it, that's it. We haven't got it. But if you get it, it's going to transform our area, local economy.
The people have agitated. They've sent petition to government. If government decides to listen to them and abrogate the contract, what will be the action that you will take?
Well, I don't anticipate that government will abrogate it. The company has not done anything wrong. We have not infringed any regulation for the oil exploration. For us, as the company, we mean well for our area. And we are looking forward to a day that we will have issues of transforming the whole area by coming with this investment to our people so that our project will reduce poverty in our area. So we need to assure our people that whatever they are doing currently, they will continue doing those activities. The project is never evil. It's never evil.
Whether evil or holy, serious engagement with the communities in the oil block is advised. As the Keta MCE pointed out, abrogating the contract may not be in the interest of the area. From Angloga in the Volta region, Dominic Nogi reporting for Ghana Today.